Welcome to the Amherst Wesleyan Church Sermon Podcast.
We're going to get into God's Word. And so, if you have a Bible, we are going to be looking at Romans chapter 1. Verses 21 to 32. Romans chapters 21 through 32. That's my bad. All right. Romans chapter 1. If you're not sure what chapter, chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verses 21 to 32. We're going to read this together first, and then we're going to get into me talking about it. So. Romans chapter 1, verses 21 to 32, it says this: "For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up in the lusts of their heart to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. Their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature, and the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them." I've been in a lot of churches, and I've heard a lot of sermons preached on these particular verses, and often they are used to just critique the world and critique the culture, and then I'm left with, well, so what? I already know that the world is crazy. How does this impact my own life? And so I want to give us a little bit of, I don't know if it's a warning or a clarification, I don't really know what to call this, but we're not going to be like that this morning. We're not going to just talk about how insane the world has gotten and then just go home and be like, yeah, let's be really judgy about the world. No, what we're going to be doing is asking ourselves, how do people end up in these situations where sin has completely consumed their lives and they are in this most broken place? Because yes, we can look at our culture and ask that same question, but really what I want us to be doing this morning is asking the question, how did my child end up that way? How did my neighbor, my coworker, end up that way? How did I get to this place, if that's me this morning? How did we get here to this place of spiritual brokenness and sinfulness where our lives are just so broken? Because each of us can probably think of someone specific to our lives, close to us, or even look at ourselves and go, wow, this passage applies to me, applies to that specific situation, and God wants me to help that person. We can think about the teenager who grows up in church worshiping Jesus, and they're on fire for God, but then later on in their young adulthood are consumed by drugs and alcohol and addiction. And we wonder, how did they get there? We think about young people getting married who have a wonderful marriage starting out, and they have kids, and it all looks beautiful, and then years later, one of them cheats. How did they get there? We can think of people who are good at business, and their business is flourishing, and they're ethical in all their practices, and things are going well for them, but then all of a sudden they declare bankruptcy. How did they get there? We can think of small children who love to be here in church, who are running around downstairs worshiping Jesus, but then later on in life when they become teens or young adults, want nothing to do with it, want nothing to do with their parents. They begin to dishonor their parents. And we can think about coworkers who we had such a great working relationship with them, and they were so bubbly and so energetic and so lovely to be around, but then later on, after maybe being off for a few weeks, you come back and you realize they're full of bitterness. I'm not talking about me coming back and Evan's now super bitter, okay? That's not happening. Don't worry. We can think of situations specific to our own lives where at one time we thought we had it all together and things were good, but then things fell apart. How did we get there? We can think about people in our lives that we're close to, our parents, our children, our coworkers, our neighbors, people within our church that we have done life together with, and they have fallen apart, and we wonder, how did they get there? These verses in Romans give us a picture of something that I'm going to call a sin spiral. Because these things don't just happen overnight. People don't become drug addicts overnight. People don't fail in their marriages just overnight. There is a progression, a slow spiraling that takes place behind the scenes that we're unaware of, subconsciously, unconsciously, that takes place before things truly fall apart. You see, people start to look. We start looking for something. There's something missing in our lives, and we begin to look. We begin to stare. We begin to dream. Then we start to talk about it. Oh, wouldn't it be nice if I had such and such? We start to hide our dark thoughts. We start to cover them up and say, oh, if people knew what was in my mind, if people knew what I was thinking of, they go, whoa. We start to lie. We start to pretend that it's all right. And we continue this spiral until finally it's no longer just in our minds and in our hearts, but now it's in our habits and in our actions, and it is causing a downfall in our lives. How did we get there? We're going to walk through Romans chapter 1 one more time. How do people get to this place where at one time they're like, things are good, and now things have fallen apart? What is the progression? Well, if you look back in verse 21, it says this, for although they knew God. This passage is often used as a way of saying, look, like none of us are excused, like, none of us have an excuse. God's awareness, like our awareness of God, is universal. Doesn't matter if you grew up in church or not. Doesn't matter if you grew up in the Western world or in Africa. Like, we all have an awareness of God. It is intrinsic to us. We are born with it. God has made that possible. We are not without excuse because we are aware of God. You can deny his existence, sure. But there's still an awareness that there's something else way bigger than us. And so it begins with this awareness of God. There's an awareness of God, and you would think that if you were aware of God's existence, that would do something to your life, that you would begin to live in such a way that aligns with God's expectations. But no, we don't see that happen. In verse 21, if we continue, it says, although they knew God, They did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. So they have this awareness of God. It's like, hey, God, I know you're real, but I want nothing to do with you. You're not getting glory. You're not getting gratitude. I'm going to go do my own thing now. I'm going to pursue glory for myself, and I'm going to make something for myself. So there's this awareness of God, but there's this rejection of giving him glory and honor and thankfulness for the things that he has done. And so there's this turning away from our awareness of God. And the next thing that happens if we continue reading, although they knew God, they did not honor him or give thanks, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. When you stop becoming aware of God, when you start to reject God's ways, you don't give him glory, you don't give him thanks, immediately your mind, your heart become corrupted. They become dark. Our mind starts to think about things that are not honoring to him. Our heart begins desiring things that he does not want us desiring. Verse 22, it says, they were claiming to be wise, they became fools. We see this, right? People who have that awareness of God, but refuse to give him what he is due, they puff themselves up and go, I still got it together. My life is still good. I didn't need God. And then the next step, in verse 23, it says, and they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Now, a little note on this. Paul's writing this about 2,000 years ago, and in our day and age, we may not see a lot of this where people are worshiping like birds and stuff. But what Paul is talking about is that they exchanged worship for God for worship of something else. And we see this in our own lives, and we see this in our world around us, that our worship that is meant for God begins going towards our jobs, our money, our family, our vacations, our toys, all those things. And we exchange our worship for God for something created in the world by man. And then we continue in the spiral. So now I'm aware of God, but I'm not giving him glory. I'm not giving him thanks. My heart and my mind are full of darkness, and I'm worshiping other things. Well, the next step, it says in verse 24, that therefore God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts. There is this idea that God will allow you to just fall. It is his permissive will, so that if we hit rock bottom, we may repent, we may discover him again. God allows us to do the sinful things. He doesn't always stop us right away. He allows it to kind of teach us that lesson, be like, that wasn't good, was it? That was not a good idea. And so after that has happened, there is this furthering of this corruption that takes place. They exchange the truth about God for a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the creator. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. And now stop. So now we're going to get this section, which is talking a lot about homosexuality, but I don't want us to just dwell on the homosexual nature of these passages, because what Paul is doing is he's pointing out that now the sin has gone to an extreme. It's no longer just I'm worshiping other things. It's now that in my sinfulness, now I'm going to the extremes with my sinfulness. And so, of course, we see this in our culture. Yeah, we'll allow that to be said. But it's not exclusive to that. Sin, when it continues to spiral out of control, will take us to extreme places of darkness and brokenness. And then the next step is a persistence. In verse 28, it says, "And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done." And so they continue to persist long after God has given them over and they've made it to these extreme places of sinfulness. And then the final step is that now that sin has taken you to this extreme place, now it's going to multiply and spread and become all sorts of other things that are going to affect the people around you as well. They were full of all manner of righteousness, evil, covetousness, malice, envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness, gossip, slander, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless, and so on. I'm aware of God, but I do not give him glory. I do not give him thanks. Instead, I'm going to think about things that are evil. I'm going to desire things that are evil. I'm going to persist in those things. I'm going to allow that stuff to take me to these extreme places of darkness where it will then multiply and affect the people around me, and my life is now ruined and it's fallen apart. How did we get there? Why did we allow this to happen in our lives? The main point for today's message is this. Sin always pushes against the boundaries. At the very beginning of this text, it says they had an awareness of God. That is the very first boundary. There is an awareness of God that is meant to bring you to a place of worship towards him, but sin violates that first boundary, and now there's no longer that awareness of God, but now a pursuit of my own desires. And so, okay, the next boundary would be, well then, if you're not going to worship God and give him praise, at least don't think bad thoughts and don't have evil desires. Well, maybe I can do that. But then sin comes along and it pushes on that boundary, and now your mind and your heart are desiring evil things. And then you might say, well, okay, I got a boundary there now. You know, it's fine. I'm just thinking about things. I'm just desiring things, but I'm not acting on it. I'm not acting on it. And then sin comes along and pushes on that boundary, and now you're acting on it. And so you're doing little things that are sinful, and you might say, well, the new boundary is, well, at least I'm not a murderer. At least I'm not cheating on my spouse. At least I'm not doing something extreme. It's just like little sins. And then sin comes along and pushes on that boundary, and now you're in the places of extreme. And then you might say, well, you know, I'm living a pretty extremely sinful life, but it's not affecting the people around me, so as long as it doesn't multiply out of control, we're good. And then sin comes along and pushes on the boundary, and life falls apart. Sin always pushes against the boundaries. Anyone got a toddler? Few of us. All right. You can imagine it like this. And at the risk of making it sound like toddlers are just the essence of evil, that's not where I'm going with this. They're sweet most of the time. If you gave a toddler a marker, a Sharpie, permanent, and you said draw on the paper, where's the marker ending up? Everywhere else. It's on the ceiling. It's on the toilet. It's on the carpet. It's in the car. It's everywhere. Ah! But I made a boundary. I said right on the paper. That's where drawing is permitted. That's okay. Anywhere else, no. And they pushed the boundary. Kids know how to push boundaries. Amen. Sin knows how to push boundaries, and it always will. Sin will always push against the boundaries. How did we get here? We allowed sin to push against our boundaries, and we said, go ahead. I'm okay with it. And little by little, we spiral. we spiral. And those people that we care about in our own lives, that is how it happens. The reason we spiral is because we allow sin to push against our boundaries. So what are we supposed to do? How do we prevent this from happening? We got to go right back to the beginning. Awareness of God. We need to become aware of God and allow our awareness of God to push us towards worship and push us towards surrender and push us towards humility and push us towards perseverance. The reason people end up in drug addiction is not because they woke up one day and were addicted to drugs. It's because they stopped being aware of God. And then from there, other things happened. The reason marriages fall apart and people end up committing adultery is because one of the spouses stopped being aware of God and everything else followed afterwards. The reason your coworker is bitter is because they stopped being aware of God and allowed sin to push against those boundaries and other things happened. If we want to avoid a sin spiral, we got to go right back to that beginning and say, my awareness of God is to lead me to worship. And so here's what we got to do. Number one, we need to respond differently to the awareness of God. If you are here today and you're like, yeah, I know God exists, but I don't really care. Like, I'm just going to do whatever I want to do. You got to change that. Your awareness of God's existence is to drive you towards worship. We need to respond differently to the awareness of God. Number two, I think we need to grieve the fact that we have sinned, that we are somewhere within that spiral if we are. Because what ends up happening is that we continue to cover it up, we continue to justify it, we continue to excuse it and say it's okay. But these things in our lives that separate us from God, yes, there's forgiveness, yes, there is mercy and love from God, but we need to grieve the fact that we have violated God's laws. And in that grief, we step into repentance and we step into that new life. So we got to respond differently to the awareness of God. We got to grieve. And then lastly, and this is why it applies to those of us who are in the church, following Jesus already, we need to truly examine ourselves to see if we're anywhere along that list. Maybe you're at the very beginning, and it's just your mind and your heart. Everything else is okay, but you're starting to spiral. Maybe there are extremes in your life that are hidden from the world, but they are taking root and they are damaging your soul. Wherever it is that you find yourself today, you got to truly examine yourself to see where along the line you may be. And then you need to get help. Whether that's talking to me or Pastor Evan or to someone you know that's following Jesus, seeking professional help, going to a recovery program, whatever it might be. Psalm 139 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and see if there is anything that doesn't honor you." Because sin pushes against the boundaries. And God desires that we follow him, that we worship him, that we live holy and righteous lives. Not so that we can pat ourselves on the back and go, "Oh, look how good we look," but because he is worthy of that. Because he designed us for that. He did not design us for sin. God doesn't want sin pushing against these boundaries and for us allowing sin to take occupancy in our hearts and bring us down. So we got to be we got to respond differently to the awareness of God. We got to learn to grieve our sin, and we got to examine ourselves today. Because God wants something more than just your life to spiral out of control. The worship team's going to come and lead us in a few songs. And as they do, you're invited to worship. You're invited to repent. You're invited to examine your heart. You're invited to respond to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you here today. But whatever you do, respond to what God is saying. Don't continue to allow the boundaries that God has laid out in your heart to be violated by sin. Let the Holy Spirit give you power and strength to say no. And in all things, let's give him the worship that he so deserves.
Thanks for listening and being part of our church and joining us in this journey to become down-to-earth people following Jesus in down-to-earth ways.